Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready? Say
Kabbalah, trying to become more spiritual. How's everybody doing this evening? How is the African family doing, and how are the children? I hope they're doing fine. And once again, welcome to the Care to Read Room. You have the library you need. Excuse me. Pardon me, ladies and gentlemen, a little technical difficulty. You have your Omega 7 in the house, the advisor you need, and the advocate you want. Once again, I'd like to thank you for joining us on this segment. We are going to be working with discussing the divinely encounters that are made by the initiate while he's on his path to higher consciousness, ladies and gentlemen. What are some of the things that we have to do while on the path so we can stay on the path? Now, if we do get the tears, there should be ways that we can regroup ourselves and get back on the path. There's always room and time for accountability to get back on track. And that's what we're going to be doing today, ladies and gentlemen, trying to stay on track. We're halfway through the initiate program, as you know, and what we're attempting to do is to make ourselves transform into higher spiritualness. We're going from glory to glory. And for those of you who are newcomers out there, I like to say Habari Gani, what's up? We're glad that you can join us. And to our old friends, I want to say what's happening. Stay on course. Don't get off the path. And as you stay on the path, at the end of this race, there is going to be a prize. And I wonder, will you stay for the end of the prize? That's right. We fight the battle and the good fight of faith because we know what the prize is at the end. The end says we win. And we already know in the good book, it says that we win. So they believe that because Jesus has already fought the good fight of faith, that they've already won. However, Africans know that every day you walk out your salvation and you're tested, and your conduct is weighed on a daily basis. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get ready to go into our purification, and we're going to get those drummers out here so they can heat everything up and get the thing started. Can I get the drummers to give me a drum roll? Are the drummers in the house yet? Drummers, please come forward. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here are those lovely drummers. Somebody we've been waiting for. Once again, I want to tell you that you're in the right place today. You're in the place to advance yourself and to work on your consciousness. So stay with me, ladies and gentlemen, and stay tuned for the next segment. You want to be a part of it. Get started on this. I want to get permission from my elders to speak. Elder, do I have permission at this time?
Yes, by all means, you have permission to speak.
Thank you very much, Elder. And ladies and gentlemen, if you do hear a little pause in between, that's because I'm working with new equipment. Just bear with me here. I'm getting ready for the purification, and if you would like, would you please take out your names, your list of names for your elders and for your ancestors, primarily for your ancestors, ladies and gentlemen. So stand to your feet. You're now on holy ground, and we're getting ready for the purification. Father, is the purification ready?
Purification ready.
Okay. Come in. I pour libations to the west. I pour libations to the south. and I pull my bases to the north. Ladies and gentlemen, as the water hits the ground and I wash my face with the water, I cannot greet the Almighty with a stale face. Father, is the purification complete?
Purification is complete.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, stand to your feet. Take out your list of names of your ancestors. This is a portion where you can choose to participate or not. It is not mandatory, however, but for the purpose of practicing our rituals, I am going to stand once again, ladies and gentlemen. Quiet your spirit by letting your inhalation go in and out, breathing in the oxygen of God, breathing out the oxygen or the energy of negative feeling. As you breathe in and out, knowing that God has given you the full power, because now we know who we reside with. We reside with God, and God is in us, and we are in God. Thinking back now over all of the ancestors that crossed the Middle Passage and all the work that he had to go through to make it through. Thinking back now on all of the people that didn't make it across the Middle Passage. Those who are still stagnant in the lakes, the oceans, and the rivers, the Pacific River, as to be exact. Those children who didn't make it past the Middle Passage. If you are traveling, trying to get home, we say, please come home. I light a candle for my mother's spirit, and I say, Ashe, to light the way home. I set a glass of water out for my mother's spirit, and I quench their thirst so that they're not thirsty. I light a candle for my father's spirit, and I say, welcome home, family. I set a glass of water before my father's people, and I say, drink, family, so that you will not be thirsty anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, as you send out the frequency waves to your loved ones, knowing the ones that are weak in their spirit, need support, I say support the weak. It is now time for the initiate to get back on track again. If you've fallen off the path, you need someone to help you get back on track. If you've fallen and can't get up, now is the time to ask for help. Remember, your Ori is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniconscious. He is everywhere or she is everywhere. You need only to call and ask for their help. As you send out the frequency waves, remember there are less fortunate who do not have the authority or the power and who have not developed a third eye to see with. Help them become more like Christ as they advance up the tree of life. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, these faculties that we are attempting to open, these are faculties that have been laying dormant for a long time. And for each one of us, it will be a challenge to open up these faculties and getting working normally. So be patient with yourself and others. As we go through the process on a day-to-day basis, help us to be able to climb up the trip ladder, the ladder to come out of our physical self into our spiritual being so that we become more like God. As we bring the vibrations back down to a halt, I ask that you to take deep breaths, breathing in and breathing out, slowing down your respiration. Synchronize your vital signs with me, and I'll synchronize mine with yours. As we take deep breaths in and out, breathing in the oxygen of God, exhaling the carbon dioxide that is bad for our intestines and for our body. We thank you if we are able to come together and call on the ancestors. Now let's quiet our spirit by taking deep breaths. Now I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, to please remember to do these rituals on a regular basis, acknowledging all your ancestors, inviting them in to commune with you. Ladies and gentlemen, you have now completed the talking cure. Once again, thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back. This is the Care to Read Room, which is underwritten by Project 2019 in the Northern Indiana area. Our phone number here is 646-478-0270. And if you are a caller out there and you wish to call in to participate in the show, please don't hesitate to call in. Our scheduled time is from 6 until 7 every day, Monday through Friday, and you're welcome to call in to be a part of the show. We've had featured guests on our show from time to time, and those who would like to come in, and if we're having a discussion, you're free to come in as well. So you're certainly welcome. We'd like to also say welcome to that neighboring radio station out there, Harambe Radio Station, who is always fighting for causes of the people. We like to say three Harambes and throw our fists in the air and say Harambe, Harambe, Harambe. I know it's not as powerful as it usually is, ladies and gentlemen. You owe me here as a little nostalgic. Got that swimming in today, so I'm ready to lay back and relax. So I'm going to quiet things down a little bit. I'm just going to be tipping toe around the subject today. So if I appear to be a little sleep, guess what? I might be. I'm sleepwalking, but always conscious, always conscious. Once again, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This segment of the show is working with the initiate. We are busily trying to get back on the path. And if we were ever on the mark and got off or sidetracked or somebody took us down a detour, now is the time you would honestly come back and get on detour. Well, let me just take a little brief sabbatical here and go on station identification while I get myself together here. And I want you to know that you, too, can get on the path, and we are going to get on the path together. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
Miracle Worker. Rains by the author, Shirel Omiinka Binka Bidiako Garth. My husband thinks that I'm a miracle worker. But dig this. Here's a realtor. He tucks $20 in my hand. And I say, man, what's your plan? He responds, I'm sure that you understand. He says, here, take this and go shopping without even stopping to think that it's been a long time since grits was poultry and since $20 bought groceries. While just the other day he requested gourmet, I put chicken on his plate instead and hoped that he didn't realize it was fake. I guess somebody has to determine his fate. As a miracle worker, you know I don't have to debate.
In my room.
On his days off, all he wants to do is sit and gaze. Why, he never wants to interface about the good old days. His mind is somewhere off, always in a daze. The television occupies a great portion of his time. He keeps on promising that he'll read a few of my lines. But I have to laugh, oh girl, I have to laugh to keep from crying, because he really thinks that I'm a miracle worker. I ain't lying. His greatest consolation is flipping the television station from station to station. Hopefully soon he'll be ready to take a vacation, that is, from the television station, because the real tearjerker is that I am no miracle worker. I am no miracle worker. That's the real tearjerker.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I am no miracle worker. And ladies, from time to time, we have to tell our men that we're not miracle workers. Sometimes they want us to fix things. They want us to be more on task than they are. And they want us to do the impossible. Just because they've seen us do the impossible doesn't mean that we're always on task. And that means that every now and then we deserve to get off task. Take a sabbatical. Just be downright relaxed. It's okay, but we have to remember we can't stay on sabbatical. We got to get back on task. That's right. And that's what we're about to do now, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about some things that can help you get back on task. And this is just pure talking cure right here. And basically, I'm not going to take you to any book to give you this. because I want you to get this straightforward, and I want you to be able to apply it tomorrow morning immediately. Now, straight talk, ladies and gentlemen, in our discussion to find a divinely encounter that we may be on, and we've been on a divine encounter. We've been trying to find all the things we can do in the area of the comedic teaching that would get our faculties back on task. We talked a little bit about having poor judgment, having bad character, having bad credibility, and what we need to do to change those faculties. And we also talked about remorse and being remorseful and repentful and what it is to talk about sorrow and how people end up with sorrow when they are they're remorseful about not having done something. And what happens? They become very remorseful, so they eventually go into depression. Now, it's okay to be remorseful, but when you get downright sorrowful, a lot of that is unresolved issues. And that's what we want to make sure in our life, that we don't leave things unresolved. That's why it's very important that at night, before you settle in to go to sleep, that you always think about those you might have offended or somebody you might have inappropriately handled, and you want to go back to them or him or her or all of them and say, look, girl, you know I didn't mean what I said. Sometimes this mouth just gets the best of me and it says things, and I've just got to be more responsible about taking the ability to put my mouth on time out. And sometimes you have to tell yourself, girl, don't say that. You know you don't mean that. Girl, why go that distance to say something that you're going to regret? But in the heat of anger, we have a tendency to go on because we're mad. Let me talk about that word called mad, because black people use that term a lot. I often tell them, please don't use that word with me that I'm mad. Dogs and animals and cats and rats go mad. People have a will. People have accountability. They cannot afford to be mad. Unless you're running around with a disease, you have no business being mad, because it's going to eventually get you in trouble. You have to stay on course, ladies and gentlemen. You have to remember, stop, pause, take a break, and take a stress break. And that means to back out of the situation. Come away from the matter. Go back and try to redeem and regroup yourself. It's very important that you understand that there are a lot of people out there that can get you mad. You know, you find a lot of people that, even though they're grown and they wait to get grown, they still have to do things like they're still a child. You know, some grown-ups get tired of walking behind young people that call themselves grown, and you got to fix everything that they broke. But yet they use that term, I'm grown, I'm grown. And the first thing you think about is, boy, I wish you would act like it. Now, we've taken that word grown to another level. It means it deputizes us and gives us the authority to go off in left field and do all sorts and manners of things. No, it doesn't. When you're grown, you are more accountable than ever before. So stop telling people you're grown. Nobody needs to know your age or your address. They need to see that you're mature. And maturity supposed to come with experience, not age. You will find younger people who've had more experience than someone that is an elder, and the first thing that you will hear encounter is someone pulling rank with their age. 9 times out of 10, you'll get your feelings hurt pulling rank with your age. There's a lot of people can grow to be old fools and live a long time but not have any experiences. What gives us the ability to take a position on things is our experience. If we've had no experience on a subject, we need not even go toe-to-toe with somebody. Back out of it. Hear what the other person has to say. Maybe they could teach you something. And then you might say, boy, you're never too old to learn something. But it's very important for us to get back on task, ladies and gentlemen. We are all off the mark. We are all off the mark. We are just way out of left field. I know we have started to out-pope the Pope. And I just want to talk to you for a few minutes, African-Americans. We have gotten so down with it that when we do a thing, oh, we just do the doggone thing. I'm telling you, it's okay to be a master at something. But when we're trying to outdo our buddies to show them we're better and that we're on top of things, we go to the extreme. I never thought I would see people putting false jewelry on their teeth and literally trying to outdo the next person with the more aesthetics that they can do. I mean, that is just overdoing the doggone thing. I don't care what anybody says. Now, getting back on task means telling ourselves we don't need all that. Oh, no, we don't need to go to that level. That is far too much. We have just gone overboard. In other words, we've gone stock crazy to the point where people cannot appeal to your best interests and communicate with you. Therein lies miscommunication. So then somebody's off the mark, going down the wrong path, and maybe 6 months ago this same person had gotten saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and then had started slipping, so to speak, backsliding, one might even say gliding outside of the will of God and just doing things that they cannot even be accountable for. Well, what I want to say is this. When we're looking for the encounters, we want to involve ourselves in wholesome things that will eventually allow us to express ourselves in a loving, kind, and conducive way. You don't go showing up in places that you know eventually you're going to have to act like an outcast. If you are out with someone that is doing things that are not spiritual-like, what do you think is going to happen? Those people you're out with are going to challenge you, and they're going to debate you, and they're going to put you on blast if you are not coming politically correct, so to speak. So therefore, why burden yourself with that problem, knowing that you're going to have to go through unnecessary changes to prove to a brother or sister that you're down? I don't care what they say about you not being down, and you went ahead on and did something that you had no business doing because you wanted to be down. You know, tomorrow morning, your credibility is going to be up for grabs. And also, you're going to have to explain something to your church. So why waste time? Why not just tell them I'm saved, sanctified, or I'm spiritual, and I'm sustaining? Nothing wrong with sustaining from a thing. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Pardon me. There's nothing wrong with sustaining from something. You have a will. You have every right to sustain from something that is not wholesome. What do I mean by wholesome? Oh, I mean, what do you mean by wholesome? Just what are you talking about? Wholesome. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. What I am talking about is when you become wholesome enough to do things that are in decent order. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to change my microphone. I'm not certain how my new technology is working out, but I'm going to... What do I mean by wholesome? I mean, for example, when the family and you decide to do something together, you sit down and think about the things that are available to do. And if they're shabby, if they're shallow, and if they're things that are kinky, then you don't want any involvement with that. You just can't go doing half kinky and half straight. You're either in or you're out. You either do or you don't. You either will or you won't. Which one is it? And then this thing about being double-minded. What does the Bible tell us about that? A double-minded man or woman is unstable in all of their ways, meaning you will always be on the fence about something, not knowing what's wrong or right, questioning if you did that right long after you've done it, beating yourself up because you got off the mark, if you know what it means to have a standard, look to see that you lift up a standard. And when you lift up a standard, you will always be the standard for others to see. Don't go looking around the room saying, I want to see who's doing what. Then I know what's appropriate to do. Now, if he's going to go ahead on and do that, that or other, I'm going to do that too. I'm just going to do what the people are doing. No, you don't do what the people are doing. You, what's wrong with you? Where is your mind? You have a will, and you have been called to function with that will. When you can't lean on your own understanding, the Bible says, lean not on your own understanding, but allow God to direct your path. That's why God gave you a special guard on your head, because you don't have to lean on your own understanding, and you sure as heck don't have to follow the crowd. And don't go telling me, I just did what everybody else was doing. They were all doing the bump, so I did the bump. And they all crossed the street and went to the after party, and I went to the after party too. Are you a groupie or what? Are you trying to be down with the crowd or the in crowd? What's going on? You have to know in your own mind what's right and what's wrong. You don't ask them, well, who's to know what's right or wrong? What do you mean, who's to know what's right or wrong? That is a reversible trick question. We all know what's wrong and what's right. And we tend to play crazy when it's our turn to make a decision. Then we want to put it off on, well, who knows? You know, because you have a standard that's being lifted up on the inside of you. You have a gauge that tells you which lines to cross. And when you know where those gauges are, don't go tipping across those lines. Come on, I'm going to try it for the first time, but I ain't going back to it no more. Once you cross some of those lines, you can't go back anymore because you're hooked. You've been bamboozled, and you're corrupted. So you have to understand there's a price to pay for taking these little escapades and chances. So we have to understand we reside with somebody. And that concept, ain't nobody home. I want to tell you, somebody is at home. Christ lives there. You may step out every now and then, but Christ resides there unless you've kicked him out or kicked her out. If we want God to reside with us, we have got to create a habitat that is fit for a king. That's why you got to do something special for yourself. You got to demonstrate yourself to be somebody that you take up time with. Why is it that when it comes to ourselves, I watch people, and those that take the most time with themselves, that are meticulous, and that take the time and energy, that tells me how good they are to God, how good they are to their loved one, because that will tell me how much time they'll take with me. But if they're not taking any time up with themselves, being haphazardly misrepresented in how they care for themselves, slouchy, all out, don't care what happens to themselves, taking a drink whenever they can, sipping on everything they see, smoking everything they see, not worrying about the outcome, then that tells me that person is reckless and dangerous. Let me talk a little bit about reckless and dangerous. I don't know if you've ever seen a situation where the newcomer that comes into the department is always tested. The newcomer that comes in, the most boldest person in the department want to test him. Let me see if he or she will do this. Let me see if I can get them to do this. It's always about challenging your morals, trying to break your morals down. If they think you have some, they want to challenge your morals so that you won't convict them of their poor morals. If they can get you to let your morals down and loose up your morals, then they don't have to worry about you convicting them of theirs. So therefore, they go after your morals to make you question everything that you used to do and why you should change those things to have lesser morals. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't pay to let somebody change your whole demeanor Let somebody change your whole philosophy, character, and conduct. That means you have been rearranged. And listen, it's God and Jesus coming down here to give you a few tips to make you better, to help you get up into your life. Don't let anyone rearrange you. I don't care who it is. It could even be your mother. Jesus said, who is my mother? The brother said, Jesus, ain't this your mother and father? Jesus said, who is my mother and father? He said, those that do the will of my father is my mother and father. You're going to have to cut some people off. And if they're not living a life that's acceptable and they're living a life outside of the will of God, you're going to have to cut them off because you're trying to stay on task. If you keep hanging with him or her and they keep hanging out at those clubs and going to those juke joints after work, and if they keep going out there to that boat, casting all their lot, spending every dime they got, eventually they're going to have some habitual habits that they can't break. And guess what? By virtue of you hanging with them, you'll pick up the worst side of them. And then it'll be hard to stay on task, the task that you created for yourself to live wholesome. We want to stop and think before things get too carried away as to whether or not we're going down that path. The path of no return. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go to station identification because I want you to think about just what I said. And we're going to be back at you in the atmosphere talking about it, talking about divinity and encounters. What do we do? Let's listen to Nia. What is our purpose?
Has to have its purpose. The meaning of mission is in its purpose. Every day we live, we must be on purpose. Live this and grow wise. One dedicated to the fifth principle, the principle of purpose, them I call it Nia. Say African people celebrating Kwanzaa, beginning on the 26th of December. Say me dash it in the roots, me dash it in the culture. Cause I'm not the mic, me a the field marshal. With the man Steve Cop and Chavin Duca. The purpose of our mission, you find it in Nia. I tell you black people, say you must understand. Say each and every one of us, we're all African. We're coming from the roots and from the foundation. If you understand me, then you know our mission. Money could buy the richer were to live on, the poor were to die. You never miss the water till the well run dry. You never know a good thing until you try. Say you're spitting at the faggot, I go falling at your eye. A life will make you laugh and life will hit to make you cry. Like an African eagle, say your dreams are them a fly. Have a purpose in life until the day that you die.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do have to know our purpose, our Nia. Being on purpose is everything, ladies and gentlemen. And when you embark upon the divinity, when you encounter your divinity coming into your God consciousness, isn't it interesting how some people notice that you have a glow about you and that you're not the same? And they asked you, what have you been doing differently? What you've been doing differently is spending time with your higher self, spending time with your higher nature, the God that was placed on the inside of you. You tend to have a glow about yourself. You tend to look as if you've seen something or you know something different than the world knows, and that you have an edge on other people. Your divinity is very important, ladies and gentlemen. When God gave you the breath of air, the divinity that you work towards, when you advance yourself in all of these modalities that we're taking you through, you begin to become more conscious. And your third eye and your chakras line up. And as all of the faculties begin to open up, those are the level that takes you to glory, to being more spiritual. Your divinity is when God shows up and he's visible to the world. Most of us sometimes, you know, we'll be at this thing for a lifetime, and we are still doing the same thing, cursing each other out, smoking the cigarettes, going to the juke joint, dancing the jig. It's okay to dance. Nothing wrong with going and dancing, but we cannot be out there doing unwholesome things. But at the same time, we have to understand we have to separate ourselves from the world. If the world doesn't know us and they can't identify with us from the centers of the world, then what is the purpose of being spiritual? A spiritual person has to remain godly at all times so that they can be able to seek God's face. Now, our divinity rests in the fact that we gain knowledge No, I wouldn't say just knowledge. Our divinity rests in the fact that we spend time with the Most High, and we actually understand how the Most High begins to think. We find out what pleases our higher self and how and what to do when we're out among sinners who can't control themselves. Do we just give in and start doing what the world does? Or do we act as an example and show them a better way? We have got to allow our divinity to show up where we're amongst people that are non-saved. I don't mean showboat about the fact that you are carrying God, but you just pick him up and carry him a little stronger and show people that it's easy to serve your Most High and to live in the spiritual world than it is to live in the corrupted world that has no virtues, has no character, no credibility, and that does any and everything. It's easy for somebody to see your divinity who is living in a cellular existence, I mean down below in the basement. If they've fallen so low than a refugee, it's easy for them to look at you and see that you have made your way up the tree of life and that something different is going on in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing wrong with somebody seeing the divinity in you. There's nothing wrong with someone seeing that you have made strides in your life. But don't go and get so boastful about it that you think it's all about you. You didn't get there, or you didn't advance there. You didn't get there, or you didn't advance there because we have to cover about that. We didn't get there and we didn't advance ourselves to that level because of who we are. It's in spite of ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. It's in spite of ourselves because we have a helper. We have a helpmate that works with us to help to make sure that we're on the right path and we're staying on the path. So we cannot boast and gain all of the notoriety for ourselves. We have to be mindful of the fact that whatever gain we have made, we have to give homage to our Ori. If we are to have good success, if we are to prosper, we have to give homage to our Ori. Because it is our Ori that gives us the ability to advance ourselves, to get riches, and to get wealth, and to do all manners of good things. It's important that we understand divinity don't mean acting holier than thou. Girl, you know, I am just not going to do that. I am just not going to do that because I am saved and I know sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. I understand. You don't have to boast about it to other people. You don't have to start talking against other people about all your good deeds. The Bible teaches us that whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things be of a good report, for us to think on those things. And then as we do that, we are mindful of the fact that we're still flesh and blood, and that we still err, and we still are fallible, and we still can make mistakes. And we're just a but by the grace of God, because by the grace of God, that could be us, who's fallen through the cracks, who's backslidden. So we stop and we thank the Creator that he has spared us and that he had mercy upon us. It's very, very important that we understand that it's not about acting pompous and proud. It's not about us talking about all the things that we've accomplished because we're nothing in our own strength. We can do nothing without God. Therefore, you pay homage to your Ori that sits on your head at all times. You must also remember that you are working with God to accomplish whatever you're accomplishing in your life. You are advancing yourself because you and God are working together to make those advancements. And as the divinity in you show up, that tells me that you're spending more time with your higher self. Every day you ought to be taking the time to spend with your higher self. And as you take that time to spend with your higher self, ladies and gentlemen, the God that lives within you will show up. And you know that stellar existence that you once had? You then take residence up in a high rise, and you move up higher and live in a more sophisticated environment. And then there's things you won't do, you won't even consider doing, because your faculties have outgrown them. You've gone through the stages of sorrow, remorse, resentfulness. You understand what it means to repent. You understand what it means to bring your faculties up under subjection so that it will not sin against your higher self. You understand that living in the residence of the status of a high rise requires you to conduct yourself differently. It requires you to shop at different stores, to buy different foods. It requires you to entertain different people. It requires you to live in a different status of your housing residence, meaning you're not living in a cellar existence, but you're living in a state of residence that is at a higher altitude. The higher your altitude, the higher your living existence, ladies and gentlemen. When your altitude becomes lowered to the level of a dirt rat, meaning you are accepting just about anything to exist, you have got to lay down some foundations of what you will allow in your life. I've seen such classy people that have all kinds of outstanding things going for themselves. They will get with other people who are at that welfare mentality, and I don't mean that negatively. They got to have everything free. They want something for free. They don't want to spend their money. They're always out to undermine somebody. They always think somebody owed them something. They think the world hates them. Why would a classy person get with somebody of that caliber? Why would an existing resident level spiritual person who has risen from that level get with someone that is that materialistic? It's going to pull that resident owner's position down. It's going to pull their position down. It's going to stagnate them. It's going to cause them to be double-minded, because they will be existing in two different residences and two different levels. The house that you reside in, you can determine that, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to reside in a cellar basement and live ghetto, ghetto fabulous. Now, there's nothing wrong with being on welfare. There's nothing wrong with having to take subsidies from the government, but there's certainly something wrong with it when you have to live in that existence all your life. Those subsidies were created to help one individual get back on their feet and to get reestablished. It was not designed for generations of family. It was not designed for us to take up residence on a permanent basis, only on a temporary basis. Now, you can stay there in your mental state, even though you've transitioned out of that dwelling. You can stay there in your mental thoughts by going out. When you have a menu, picking the cheapest thing on the menu. How much is it? How much is it? But what do you want? No, how much is it? What's the cheapest thing on the menu? If you are that cheap with yourself that you don't see fit to do anything wholesome with yourself or anything classy or status with yourself, make sure that you see yourself in a higher status. Not because you think so much of yourself, but because God resides with you. And that as you begin to think at a different altitude of where you live at and reside, you begin to function at that level. Everything around you that you do will be lined up with those types of things. And remember that Omi told you so. You can be rich. That's right, you can be rich. And you can be rich in your spirit by virtue of what you allow in your life. you can set precedence of everything you want to do, from the neighborhood you live in, to the car you drive, to the place you decide to have your circle of friends. These are things that you can make decisions on. Now, I don't mean go out and buy a bunch of Gucci stuff and a bunch of designer stuff because now you want to look the part of being rich and you ain't got 2 cents in the bank. I don't mean that. I don't mean faking it till you make it. I'm talking about living a quality of life. There is nothing wrong with people that are middle class planning their life. The difference between a rich person's life and a poor person is planning. Poor people think they can't plan. There's never enough money. I don't want to put this aside for that because I never can buy it. Poor people are the ones that are supposed to be on a budget and plan for everything so that in the event that they have to beg from Peter to pay Paul, they can make that adjustment. However, at the same time, that doesn't mean you live beneath yourself all your life. Every now and then, you might choose to splurge to do something special for yourself and your family. And you shouldn't have to feel guilty about it. I think everybody in their right mind knows that they deserve to have something that's wholesome. And they deserve to feel like they are acceptable, not a second-class citizen at all times, and not one that would be a welfare recipient at all times. Now, I want to say this to those who might feel offended about welfare. I worked with welfare people before. I helped show them a way to get on their feet so that they could give that temporary gig back, because it's only a temporary thing. It's only designed to keep you in a status where you can't climb up the ladder of higher altitude. You don't want to get stuck in that selling level. You want to advance yourself from that. And that doesn't mean you have to be rich. It means you have to have a state of mind that is advancing you to a rich stage. And it doesn't mean you have to have dollar bills, y'all, and have money marvelous talk, streetcar fare, but you think you're going to walk. It doesn't mean that. It means that you are going to make it up in your mind that every once in a while you're going to find some things you want to do that the so-called rich folks can do, or some of the things, the foods that they can eat, or do some of the things. You don't want to feel like you are deprived all the time, because we don't want to live over our means, but we want to look at the situation and see where are our priorities. Maybe something that you're spending money on that is not a priority. I don't think going to the club every Saturday is a priority, and getting a brand new dress to wear to show off, that's not a priority. And don't tell me that because you're trying to find a husband, you got to go to the club every Saturday because you want to see who you could pick up and bring home. There may be a cheaper way. You might be able to go to that library, put on normal everyday clothes and not have to buy additional clothing, and then go there and meet some nice men, or at the grocery store. It doesn't have to mean spending a bunch of money to go into a club and have and buy dresses that you have to keep the tags on and take back the next day because you done wore that dress, and now that man thinks that you living in a mansion because you got on Louis Vuitton outfit, and you're carrying a bag that costs way more than your mortgage a month, but you don't have a checkbook in it. Now, let's think about it, ladies and gentlemen. We are certainly not going to fake it until we make it. Nothing wrong with having quality and desiring to have quality. Now, I want you to get back on the path. And let's talk about spiritual things, because where we at in our mental thinking determines where we're going to live at in our physical. Now, if you're in the ghetto in your mind, guess what? I don't care how much money you pull in or how much you make, you're going to live at the cellar level in your mind, and that's the residence you'll be at. You'll make $1 million and move back to the ghetto and say, boy, look at me moving on up. I used to drink sip champagne, and when I'm thirsty, and now on my birthdays. I mean, come on now. If you're going to advance yourself, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to stay in the hood. In the mental state of mind, you have to graduate from the mental state of mind, and you have to open up opportunities for yourself and others to go and live in wholesome areas where you can keep your dollars circulating in a neighborhood with mixed people, not just all black and not just all white, but it's important that we have to elevate ourselves up to another level. It's important that we must stop calling ourselves poor and stop saying we're broke and we don't have nothing and we ain't going to never have nothing. We have to get to a point where we can see ourselves advancing. And as we advance to another level, we have to advance ourselves to another level to the point of staying mentally fit. This mental exercise I'm going to give you for homework, ladies and gentlemen. Go and do a mental exercise and think about what it is you want to do with your life and where you want to be. Write out your plans for yourself and how you're going to use powerful words to get there and how, a six-month plan and then also a 12-year plan. There is power in the words, ladies and gentlemen. Speak things that be not as though they were. And I want to say to you on that note, oh, double and baba booey to you, y'all. And I'm going to see you here tomorrow, bright and early. Tomorrow is Friday. We're getting ready for the sabbatical, and we're going out of here with the power of the word.